The following broadcast is brought to you by Sons of God International and Freedom Fellowship Church. Hello, and welcome to the prophetic voice of our time, where we focus on the voice of prophecy, which is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our host, Christina Sasso, is a senior pastor at Freedom Fellowship Church. Let's hear what she has to say to the body of Christ.
Hello, thank you for tuning in. My name is Joshua Sasso, and you are listening to the prophetic voice of our time. As it says in the scriptures, the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is the very spirit of prophecy. But before I continue, I want to remind you that Pastor Chris is now preparing to go to the Philippines. She's going to be there for almost a month, and God's got a loaded schedule for her where she's going to be training the new generation of Philippine leaders. And that's really exciting because God intends to bring a move of God in the Philippines, just as he is bringing a move of God here in America. So if the Lord is putting on your heart to support that mission, I encourage you to go to our website, sogmi.org, and hit the donate button. Again, that is sogmi.org, and hit the donate button. Now, many of you that are listening to me speak right now are aware of something really horrible that happened just the other week. And this was when a young man by the name of Charlie Kirk was assassinated at an event he was holding in Utah. And the purpose of this event was to do as he usually did, which was to host an open discussion regarding various political and social issues in this country. And he was shot for it. Now, this is something that really reverberated around the political discussions here in America. Many people were really heartbroken by this and upset by it, and rightly so. The message that I want to get out to God's church this week is this, that God requires in this day men and women of action. And when I say men and women of action, I don't mean necessarily that people who will take things into their own hands to do what they want to do. What I mean is men and women, when they hear the call of the Lord, when the Holy Spirit tugs on their heart, they act swiftly and decisively in obedience to God. And the reason why I bring up Charlie Kirk regarding this is because Charlie Kirk was in fact a man of action. He was killed at 31 years old. And yet in those 31 years, he accomplished more than most people will ever accomplish in their lifetime. And what we have to understand is that Charlie Kirk understood the calling that God gave him. You see, God put on his heart a calling where he needed to go out to the schooling institutions and right various wrongs that were there. He saw that our education system was in ruin, that wickedness and darkness abounded, and he realized that he was being stirred to action to go to the education system, reach out to the new generation, and be a light where there is darkness. And we as Christians are called to do the same. Not all of us will have the same mission that Charlie Kirk had. Some of you will be sent to the political arena, to the media, to the education. All of these are places where there are ruins and devastation and darkness. It needs the light of God there. And it is your job to go where God sends you and to be a light. Not many people know this, but Charlie Kirk understood this even from a young age. I have in front of me here, it's a copy of a letter that Charlie Kirk wrote to a news organization when he was just a high schooler. So this is a teenage Charlie Kirk writing to Breitbart News shortly after Andrew Breitbart died. And it says this, "My name is Charlie Kirk, and I was referred to you by Redacted from the Chicago Tea Party Rally." Now, how many of you guys remember the Tea Party rallies? "I am a high school student from Wheeling, Illinois, and a co-founder of a conservative youth group called SOS Liberty." Now, notice this. He's in high school, and yet he has already been creating and founding different organizations with the same purpose and vision that he was operating with through his whole life. "Redacted told me to contact you after I informed him about some of our activities and the blatant misinformation in our public school textbooks. For example, our district, 214 AP Economics, The textbook is written by Paul Krugman and is littered with biased and subjective analysis. SOS Liberty wants to correct certain information and provide an alternative viewpoint to combat the liberal brainwashing that is taking place in our classrooms. Again, this is a high school Charlie Kirk who is writing this letter, and he is already on a mission that there is darkness. There is a problem in our modern education system, and it needs to be remedied. And am I going to sit around and wait for other people to do it, or am I going to begin getting the word out? Am I going to begin acting in accordance to the calling that God has placed on my heart? And so it's amazing, too, because he goes on and on and on, where he highlights some of the explicit biases that are in the textbooks in the public schools. In the last paragraph of this letter that he wrote, it says, "Andrew Breitbart's passing was so sad and a terrible loss for the conservative community. At SOS Liberty, we believe we can carry on Mr. Breitbart's message to the younger generation and alert our peers to this generational theft and liberal bias that is taking place in our classrooms. Furthermore, by exposing our public schools' blatant liberal bias, we can restore sound objectivity. We wonder, where are the Milton Friedman, Thomas Sowell, or Ludwig von Mises textbooks? With your help, we can send big education and big government a big message. Thank you for your support, Charlie Kirk." So this was a young man, maybe 17, maybe 18, still in high school, but he had already caught a hold of a mission that needed to be accomplished. And he didn't wait around thinking, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. He understood that I will act with conviction with this mission that has been granted to me. And this is what the calling of God must be like for all of us. As I said before, this young man in his 31 years of life accomplished way more than most people ever accomplish in their entire lifetime. And now if you look at what's going on, for example, in South Korea, you had all of these people out on the streets, thousands of them saying, "We are Charlie Kirk." Turning Point USA didn't even have any outreaches in Korea, and suddenly they're inspired by him. You have in Britain, in the UK, where millions of people were outside defending freedom of speech, citing Charlie Kirk as their inspiration. For if he can speak out on behalf of truth and free speech, we can do the same. So this thing that was intended for evil and wickedness, God is turning around for good. But what I want to inspire all of you to understand is that God requires now men and women of action. We cannot be spectators in this day where we sit around complaining about how bad things are. We are the light of the world. We're supposed to go into every sector of society and be the solution to the problem. Now, when I say this and when I'm trying to stir you to action, I'm not saying that every single one of you will be involved intimately in the political arena. Some of you, God will begin to call you to produce music and movies and arts. You know that there's darkness in those industries too. Some of you, God will spur to create books and textbooks, maybe scientific discoveries and inventions. The tech world needs the light of God. Every sector of society, Christians need to be spurred into action. That no longer are we going to surrender our education, our politics, our healthcare, our technology, our media to the world and to Satan. It is time for the church to be involved in every sector of society. So we need men and women of action. When God calls upon you, answer it immediately and be spurred into action. This is not unlike when Jesus called his disciples. It says in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brothers. They were Simon, his other was named Peter, and Andrew, his brother. They were putting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said, "Follow me, I will make you fish for men." The scripture says, at once they left their nets and followed him. Going from there, Jesus saw two other brothers. They were James and John, the son of Zebedee's. They were sitting in a boat with their father, mending their nets. Jesus called them also, and at once They left their boat and their father and followed Jesus. Understand, this was their livelihood. That was their day-to-day way of living and way of providing for themselves. And Jesus showed up at their doorstep and said, hey, come follow me. And they left everything behind. What does this mean for us in this modern day? It means that when you get the tug of the Holy Spirit in your life, when Jesus shows up at your door and says, here is the calling I am placing upon your life, that thing must now become the number one priority in your life. You should be willing to rearrange everything, leave everything, do whatever it takes to follow and obey Jesus. Now, I'm not necessarily telling you to quit your job, but for some of you, that may well be the case, that you may have to rearrange your schedule to obey God accordingly. The important thing is that the calling of the Lord is not something we choose for ourselves, right? You can't just say, well, I've always wanted to do this, so I appoint myself as a prophet or as an apostle or a minister or this or that, right? It's not something that you choose for yourself. It's something that is thrust upon you. David didn't choose to be king over Israel. Abraham didn't choose to be the father of many nations. God showed up and said, I am calling you as the father of many nations. But what was required of Abraham? Leave your mother, your father, their household, leave everything behind, and go to a land that I will show you. And Abraham did just that. He was willing to completely rearrange his life to follow God. So the calling of God doesn't come at our convenience. You need to be willing to do what it takes to obey God no matter what. And I know for some of you, God has been tugging at your heart. Some of you, God has been tugging you towards the arts and the entertainment industry, where he wants to stir up those creative gifts in you to produce new media that will inspire generations. Others of you, he's calling to other arenas, including technology and science. We need to answer the call. We need to be willing to follow and obey God. Right? And if you don't know what it is yet, if you don't know what your calling is, if you haven't caught that vision yet, then you know what you need to do. You need to go into the secret place. You got to start talking to God, right? Because what we do so often is we make our plans, we make our schedule, and then we ask God to bless it, when that's completely backwards. We need to go before the Lord and allow Him, God Almighty, to be Lord of our life. Now, this calling, where God is stirring you up into action. Because again, we can't just be hearers of the word. We got to be doers. We got to be doers of the word. God is not a respecter of persons. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, whether you're a man or a woman, whether you're black or white. So long as you are willing to hear the voice of God and obey him, you can be qualified for this great move of God to be a mighty, mighty warrior and leader for his kingdom. There is no special class of people in the church. There is no special group that's more anointed than others. Those people who choose to obey God, they will be used mightily by God, and he will be with them. When the Lord called Samuel, it says that he was just a boy. So he was anywhere from 3 or 4 all the way up to 12 years old. Okay, just a boy. And what it says in 1 Samuel is that the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Now, was this because God just decided, oh, I'm just going to give them the cold shoulder. I'm going to give them the silent treatment. Or could it be that nobody in Israel had their ears attuned to listen to God? Nobody was open to hearing from God. And so God had to look all across the nation, and he found this young boy, Samuel. And Samuel listened to the voice of God, and Samuel was willing to obey him. And something that happened with Samuel is it really was a transfer from the generation previously that had not treated God as holy, not done what is right with the position that God gave them. And God had to raise up a new generation. Eli, his sons were wicked and perverse. They slept with women in the temple of the Lord, and they stole from those things that were dedicated to God. And Eli knew about this, and he let them continue to use their position to enrich themselves and do wicked things against the Lord. And so because of that, God said, Eli and his family will never serve in my temple ever again. And one of the prophetic words that was released concerning this was released through this young boy, Samuel. Imagine that, right? You're getting a prophetic word of correction and judgment from like a 7-year-old or a 10-year-old. It's like, oh my gosh, right? And if we're not careful, we're going to watch the younger generation blaze a trail way past us. Okay? So it doesn't matter how young you are. You could be 10 years old or 5 years old. If you choose to obey God today, you'll be used mightily by him. It says in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 19, "The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord." Right? Who established Samuel? It was God Almighty. "The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word." So this is an example of how it doesn't matter how small or how young you are, you can be used mightily by God if you're willing to hear from him and obey him. You have to act, right? You saying, "Oh, you know, the Lord revealed this to me 20 years ago, but I didn't obey." Why would you even want to share that, right? Aren't you ashamed to share something like that? That you missed this opportunity that you could have taken a hold of? Similarly, it doesn't matter how old you are either. It says in Genesis chapter 12, it says, "The Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to a land I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Now, this is really important because the blessings of the Lord is not just so that good things will happen to you. You are expected to be a blessing to others. So if God is sending you to an industry, whether it's education or media or technology, it's because you're going to go in there and you're going to make it better. You're going to make it more like heaven on earth. That there'll be a complete replacement for the wicked and perverse system that is there now, that is godless. But instead, you're going to go there. Imagine a new standard for news media, for movies, television, music, where all of the people that have the influence and the power, they hear from God and they obey him. You know, we would have so much more music and movies that bring out the best in people, that bring people towards God. And I'm not just talking about preaching, and we can talk about this later, okay? Because not all music and movies, not everyone's calling is preaching. And I've talked about that, I think, the past 2 weeks in a row now, which is preaching is not the ultimate. In the Bible, the vast majority of the heroes we read about were not preachers. Some of them did preach. But the most important thing is that they received a call from the Lord and they obeyed him. And we need to do the same, right? In the case of Noah, it was, "Hey, I need you to build this really big boat." And you know what? Thank God he obeyed the Lord, right? Now, this is the important part I want you to read. So Abraham's, through him, all the nations on earth are going to be blessed. And then it says, verse 4, Genesis chapter 12. "So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran." 75 years old. So you can't say, "Well, I'm too far gone. Oh, it's too late for me. God can't use me anymore. I missed my opportunity." That's not true. If you choose today, you know what? "I will act in faith and obedience to the Lord. Today, I'm going to serve the Lord." God can still use you. And let me tell you a secret, by the way. Abram left his father's household at 75. It says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him." Okay, don't tell me you're too old. If you had the thought, "Well, it's too late for me, my time is over." Nope. If you choose today to serve the Lord, "God, maybe I missed opportunities in the past. Maybe I disobeyed you in the past. But you know what, God? If you call on me today, I will obey. I will be stirred to action and I will do what is right. I'm just going to be like the disciples, right? If you tell me to leave the boat, I'll leave the boat. I'll leave everything behind. I'll do what I have to do to follow you. Because God, I don't want to waste another opportunity." Hey, so get excited, okay? You're not too far gone. For all of us, every single one of us can today, as we wake up, "Today, I am going to serve God and I'm going to obey him." And I started talking about Charlie Kirk because he was a young man who was a man of action. He understood the times that he was in. He understood the calling that God placed on his life to go and fix the education system, get the word out to the new generation. And you know what? God amplified his efforts. And this is what I'm going to close with here, which is that when you choose to obey God, you may think that the task is too big for you, that you can't handle it. Anyone who starts to walk in faith and obedience to the Lord, God walks with them and he amplifies their footsteps. And if you look at the book of Nehemiah, it is such a great example of this because Nehemiah had on his heart a longing for Jerusalem to be rebuilt. When he heard that it was in ruins, that the walls had been burned down and destroyed, it says that he fasted and prayed and cried out to the Lord. Okay? And sometimes the calling of the Lord is like this, where you have this tugging on your heart, where you know that this is something, where this thing is in ruin, it needs to be fixed. Why has nobody else seen this problem? Why has nobody else addressed this? And Nehemiah was thinking about this to himself, and suddenly he got to the place that, you know what? Nobody else is addressing it. Maybe I can do it. I can be stirred to action. I can do something about this. But Nehemiah at the time, he had another job. He was working as cupbearer to the king in a completely different nation. But the first thing Nehemiah does is this. He prays to God and he repents. Nehemiah understood the spiritual situation that led to the destruction of Jerusalem. So he prayed to the Lord, repented for his own sins, and repented on behalf of Israel, right? In any industry where God is sending you, remember, we wage war, not against flesh and blood, against principalities, spiritual forces. In education, there's a spiritual warfare going on there. In media and news and entertainment, there's a spiritual war going on there. In politics, all of these industries that God intends to send his church to take possession of, there is a spiritual battle. And so if God is sending you to a place, you need to understand the spiritual environment that God is sending you to. And that's what Nehemiah understood. He understood these things happened because the Israelites sinned against the Lord. But God, you also said that if my people repent, if they turn back to you, it doesn't matter how far they're scattered, I will bring them back to the promised land that I gave them. So that's the first thing that he does. And the next thing, this is the one that he had to take a big deep breath. He had to ask the king permission. Look, I know that I'm serving you, king, but can you send me to this completely different nation, to this completely different city, so that I can go rebuild it? That's what he asked. He's like, look, I want to go on a journey back to Jerusalem. It's a far way away, and I want to rebuild Jerusalem because it's my homeland. And the king asks, well, how long are you going to be gone for? And the Bible doesn't tell us what he said to him, but I imagine it wasn't a short period of time. Because let's face it, rebuilding Jerusalem is a lot of work. But Nehemiah says, you know, praise God, the king granted my request because the spirit of the Lord was with me. But Nehemiah goes even further. He's like, also, king, could you also give me letters so that I'll have safe passage all the way there? And also so that the people there will provide me with lumber to start the construction process, lumber so that I can build myself a house to live in while I'm there in Jerusalem rebuilding everything to get this thing kickstarted. And the king granted his request. So here is God opening doors for Nehemiah to accomplish the task that God put on his heart. And let me tell you, if you choose today to begin obeying the Lord, it may not come in the way that you expect. God will provide you with the resources, the wisdom, and the opportunities necessary to make it happen. And let me tell you, even if the king had not granted Nehemiah's request, God would still have made a way for Nehemiah to go back to Jerusalem and start rebuilding because God put that desire in Nehemiah's heart. So, what are you going to do in this day? Will you determine in your heart to be a man or woman of action? When Jesus shows up at your door, will you do whatever it takes to obey him and follow him? And many of you, you have this tug on your heart where the Holy Spirit has been tugging you and pointing you at issues that need to be resolved, at things, rights that need to be made wrong. This nation needs people who are going to rebuild those ruins that previous generations had let fall apart. It's time for us to be men and women of action and to obey the Lord. And I hope this has encouraged you. Thank you so much for tuning in. Again, my name is Joshua Sasso, and this is the prophetic voice of our time. Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time. We really hope you were blessed by today's episode. And if you were, we want to hear from you. You can call us at 210-695-1630, or you can email us at sogmi@outlook.com. That's sogmi@outlook.com. And we really encourage you to visit our website, sogmi.org. That is sogmi.org. That's where you can listen to previous episodes of this podcast and even support this broadcast. We're supported by listeners just like you. So if you want to support this ministry, you can go to sogmi.org and hit the donate button. You can also send a check to P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023. Again, that is P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023.